Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
I want to thank you for coming out on such a wonderful evening as this, kind of snowing as we came in this evening. Wonderful time to be together. I want to start by asking you a simple question. What happened to Christmas? Wasn't it just a little while ago that we were celebrating Christmas? And if I were to ask you this evening, or if I were to ask the worship committee, if we could take some of this stuff away and replace it with an Advent wreath, would you be up for that? I know I would, right? I mean, it's nothing. There's a sense of energy about Christmas, and we get so excited about Christmas. But as somebody once said about Lent, they said, Ash Wednesday, wow, what a downer. Right? But one of the things we struggle with is the need that we have for this Lenten season. Several years ago, there was a great movie. I know that many of you have seen it, a story about a women's baseball team, a league of their own. And there's one of those famous quotes that came out of that movie. Gina Davis is kind of the star. Everything is going really well for her. Everything is going smoothly until it gets to be a little bit too much. And there's a scene where she confronts the coach, played by Tom Hanks. And she wants to quit. She's ready to get on the bus. And he said, why? How can you quit now? And she says, because it just became too hard. And in that great quote that he looks back at her, and I think he kind of echoes that tonight, he said, it's the hard that makes it great. We need this time of year. I know that we would love to spend our days in Christmas. We would love the celebrations, and there is a point to all of that, but we need Lent. We need to look inward. We need to pause from the busyness of our life and say, what was it all about? Sometimes we come to Lent and we think Lent is about abusing ourselves, right? It's about giving something up. What are you going to sacrifice for Lent? Because we have somewhere, we got the mistaken idea that if we really want to connect with God, you've got to hurt. It's got to hurt so good, right? That until we're suffering, we really don't know God. And that's not what it was about at all. If you've ever gone through a fast, if you ever spend a time, maybe spend a whole day in a food fast or a fast from anything, what does it do to your sensitivity to food? What does it do to your longing for the thing that you set aside? All of a sudden, there is a richness to the food. If you've ever gone for a long fast and you come down to a simple bowl of chicken soup, it'll be the best chicken soup you've ever had. Or if you've ever fasted from soda or from coffee, or heaven forbid, the internet, you recognize the wonders that it had for you that you often overlooked. Lent is central to who we are and who we are becoming. We need this evening to center our lives around, and it becomes the foundation for the rest of the year. I think it's strange that people will pour out on Easter morning and say, Easter is here, and I wonder, but have you been through Lent yet? Have you experienced the journey that Jesus took with his disciples? It became a time in the Old Testament that the Hebrews had gotten to a place, and I wonder if it isn't the same for us or many of the people in our community, that we start just kind of going through the motions. We just start showing up and we do what we're supposed to do. We go from Christmas and then we go through Epiphany and we come to Lent, but we're just kind of going through the journey. Lent is a time of reflection, and the Hebrews had gotten to that place, and God calls them to task. He asks them some difficult questions, and this evening I want us to take on those questions And I want us to think about the journey that you have decided to go on with us. For the rest of the next 40 days, you and I, somehow in partnership, in covenant made by the ashes, will be on a journey together. And God has chosen to guide us. So let us open up the text this evening and let us hear what the Lord says through the words of the prophet Isaiah. Let him speak to us this evening. Reading from prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter, beginning with the second verse. They ask me for decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all of your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cord of the yoke, and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, on this sacred evening, we draw near to your holiness and we ask that in the power of your word, you would stir the spirit within us. Guide us, O Lord, to your presence, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are a rock and our fortress and our redeemer. Amen. The temptation had overcome the Hebrews. They had been living for years, knowing full well what their faith was about, and God called them to task. Are you going through the motions? You see, there's a sense that the church calendar continues to go on year after year, but Lent is that time where we kind of almost take a step out of our normal routine, and we have to ask ourselves some rather difficult questions. Are we just going through the motions? And so this evening, let us challenge ourselves to ask those difficult questions. Not the questions like, what are you giving up for Lent? How much have you suffered? How hard is it for you to live your Christian life? But to ask the questions that only you can answer. Questions like, am I growing up in maturity, wisdom, and grace? Or am I just growing stagnant? Lent is a time for evaluating, to reflect in a mirror and ask yourself those essential questions by beginning with the end and looking backwards. Where will you be in another year? What are your plans? Are you growing? Are you expanding your horizons? Are you feeling more of God's presence? Or are you just doing a fast on your own terms? Am I living by my highest values, my hopes and my dreams? Or am I being consumed by my cravings? We live in a consumer-oriented culture that is dominated by what is on TV, by the commercials that we see, by how we compare ourselves to everyone else. But there comes a time where we have to ask, are my values, my hopes, and my dreams, am I living them out, or are other people dictating the course of my future? Lent draws us aside and says, can you put aside those things that have their clutches in you? Can you learn to live a different way? Am I willing to give out of my abundance, or am I hoarding out of my fear? God invites us to live in His abundance. He said, when you know me fully, you will know all that I have to offer to you. And in that moment, you will no longer see what you don't have. You will see the needs of others. And you will see, and you will feed, and you will clothe, and you will reach out. And so this evening, I ask you, how are you doing? Are you just going through the motions? The challenge that lies before us is one that invites us to grow in our understanding of what God has called us to do. We have joined here this evening as disciples. We want to grow. We want to challenge ourselves and to see ourselves in the light of Christ. I love the way that passage ends. When you begin to fast with honesty, when you become, you come before God with all of yourself, then your light will shine forth and you will see the world as it truly is. So I want to challenge you this Lenten season to begin to think differently. And I want to challenge you to do three things. Number one, I want you to think about being honest. This is why I believe most people really despise Lent, because there's no other way around it. Lent asks you the hard questions. Will you be able to go the distance? Or do you already know in the back of your mind, somewhere in the back of your brain, you already know, I don't think I can make it. So maybe I better not try. Be honest with yourself. Take an honest, hard look at yourself. Step out of the limelight from Christmas and Advent and see yourself in the light of we are dust. What does that mean? What is your life about? What legacy will we be living or leaving to other people? Be honest. Ask yourself, what are those moments of vulnerability? What are our weaknesses? And with a humble sense or an attitude, how do we join together as a community, recognizing that we live in a broken world? How do we come together to center our lives by being honest with one another in our shared brokenness? Are you willing to be totally honest? Number two, be willing. I mean, it sounds pretty obvious, but be willing to make the commitment. I want to challenge everybody that is here, make that commitment to be in worship every Sunday. Be there to be predictable, to be dedicated, to understand that other people are looking to you for comfort and reassurance that this really does matter. Be willing to go the distance, to be there for other people when they need you, and to see yourself as a giver of God's grace, not just a consumer of God's blessings. Be honest with yourself, and then be willing to make the changes. And finally, and this is the hard one, be wounded. Yeah, I know it's not something that we like to talk a whole lot about, but begin to see the world through God's eyes. See the brokenness, see the pain, feel with empathy what is happening in the world around you. And when you begin to see other people that are struggling, and you begin to feel with God's heart, then Lent will have come to you, and Easter will take on that magical season that it was always meant to be. Henri Nouwen, who wrote in A Wounded Healer, once wrote that ministry or discipleship is the ongoing attempt to put one's own search for God, with all of the moments of pain and joy, despair and hope, at the disposal of those who want to join this search but don't know how. Are you willing to make that journey? Are you willing to step out, to be honest with people about your own vulnerabilities, to recognize them for what they are, to be willing to step into those situations that people need your help, your love, and your support? And are you willing to be wounded in the process, to feel the hurt, the pain, and the anguish that the rest of the world feels? I love this passage that I found several years ago about the true nature of the church. It says, I have a friend who is in an Alcoholics Anonymous, and he says, you know, if I'm ever late to church, the last five rows of the people turn around and they kind of scowl at me. Why can't you be on time? Don't you know what time the service starts? Why can't you be responsible like us? He said, but if I'm ever late to my AA meeting, my Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, he said, everybody stops. The whole meeting stops and they all turn around. And then they get up and they come back and they give me a hug. Because they know that the fact that I came there at all, there are probably demons inside of me that are trying to keep me away from their meeting. But the fact that I came at all was a great victory because I acknowledged something. I had a need. And I think that that's what the church should be based on. We come together not because we're superior. We come together because we recognize we all have a need. We need to worship. We need the strength that comes from our faith and our community and our total and utter dependence upon God alone, much like Alcoholics Anonymous. He ends the letter by saying, I wish my church was like an AA meeting. And don't we all? I read something the other day. Somebody wrote and posted it. I'm not exactly sure where I saw it. And it just said something simpler. I want to belong to a church that allows me to cry, that isn't embarrassed by our brokenness, by our shared need, but sees the need in every one of us and is willing to express that openly and honestly. Lent is going to challenge you with questions you didn't even know existed about who you are, not about what you do or what you wear, but about who you are. And those are the most personal of all. Your churches combine together to worship and to recognize we have at our core that same need. I want to end with this final little poem. My church is composed of people like me. I help make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am, and its pews will be filled if I help fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I'm a generous giver. It will bring other people into its worship and fellowship if I invite and bring them. My church is just like me. As we leave this evening, as we come together, as you get the ashes, it reminds us of our humanity, our common bond together. Begin the journey. Look forward to the journey because God is doing a mighty thing. Yeah, it's hard, but it's the hard that makes it great. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this body, these disciples that have gathered together. We ask, O God, that you work within us by the power of your Spirit to remind us of our humanity and your divine grace. We are saved by grace, and we give you thanks, O God, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.